Hey, welcome everybody to episode 2 of Joystick Journeys, where we figure out what type of games and discs have come through to pave the way into the gamers that we are today. Today we have the wonderful and magnificent Desk Agent, also known as Azul, runner of a 5-star streamer hotel and resort. Make sure you guys go and make your reservations later. Azul, happy to have you.
Oh, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. It feels strange to be the one being interviewed for a change.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I bet it does. Just as preference to everyone, as usual, this is going to be super relaxed, super non-formal. If you've ever seen the Desk Agent's interviews, they're super non-formal. And if you saw last week's with Defend the Insanity, that was extremely informal. But here we are. We're just going to hang out, talk about some games, talk about your journey as a gamer. What do you think on that as a concept in general?
Gamer as a concept in general. See, there's so many like ways you can label that. There's, you know, the people that strictly tabletop video game. There's the people that do like video games, card games, board games. Honestly, for me, gamer can mean, let's see, it can mean video game, card games, board games. It could even just mean just playing sport games outside, like horseshoes and beanbag toss. Like, you're still a gamer. You're playing games. Like, it doesn't have to be video.
I really like that because, like, we didn't get to touch on it a lot with Defend, and I feel like at my core concept, I'm not just a video gamer. I've been a dungeon master for over 10 plus years with Dungeons and Dragons, and I you forget about it in a way of being a gamer because I feel like society places that term on video games, you know?
Right, and usually when you hear gamer, you play video games? Yeah, sort of. I play board games as well. I ran a D&D session for a while before we had to start getting ready to move. So hoping to get back into that. I mean, heck, even people who play on phones, like mobile games, are still gamers regardless. And if you have anyone that thinks otherwise, too bad.
Throwing up that middle finger reminded everyone that we are 18 plus. Got it. Heard. Let's go. Seriously. I mean, like, you brought up mobile games, and I feel like that's a facet that, again, a lot of people don't think about anymore because of how big it is now. I remember growing up in middle school and high school playing games on my mom's phone, like Angry Birds and stuff like that. And it's just like, or my mom got really into Farmville on mobile to the point that she was finding she literally found loopholes and glitches that her and her friends utilized to the umpth degree. But mom never fully considered herself a gamer either.
I mean, you know, some people use the term more strictly. Some people, it's such a broad term, like, oh, hey, this person only plays card games like Magic the Gathering or Yu-Gi-Oh. Are they a gamer? Yeah, they're playing a game. And why are my eyes all weird over here? Hold on. That shouldn't be a thing. Let me see.
Don't be having a stroke. We don't have a 911 service emergency calls like the resort does up here at the arcade.
Very true, very true. Let me see if I can get that fixed.
While you fix that.
There we go. Fixed it.
There we go. So, in the realm of video games, what type of... If you had to put yourself in a genre of video games as a gamer, what genre do you think you go to the most?
Oh, that's a good question. Like RPG, shooter, things like that?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, you would ask that. You're asking the hard-hitting stuff around here.
Of course.
See, I bounce around everything. That's the problem, is I don't have one particular genre that I like. But if I really had to pick something, it's a tie between RPGs and real-time strategy, like Age of Empires and things like that.
Solid, solid choices. Especially RPGs and real-time strategies. Those are probably two major ones, especially now. Like, if we would look at my joystick journey, those are two that I heavily gravitate towards, especially my free time.
And oh, yeah, there's just so much, like, that you can do in real-time strategy. No two games are the same.
And then you've got 4K strategies like Crusader Kings 3 and, what is it? It's a big space one I was playing for. Stellaris, I think it's the name of it.
Probably pull it. Stellaris is a good one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. But like big 4K ones like that, where it gets so in depth and you're literally playing for hours on end. I find myself, especially my free time, gravitating towards those. I feel like, especially as a streamer, because I know I've seen you play everything from Rocket League to retro games to really indie cult games like the one you was playing the other day that was like Bloodborne, but like Twisted Metal.
Ah, Nightmare, you mean Nightmare Kart?
Yes, Nightmare Kart. And so I've seen you play everything, and I know as I've kind of made my ground here in the streamer community, I'm getting well known as like the hardcore variety streamer, because I don't just play one game full stream.
And right, you play a little bit of everything.
Exactly. And so, like, but in my free time, I'm definitely sitting down with a hardcore strategy, got my drinks ready, and I'm ready to sit and put those hours in for it, you know?
Right. So I get that.
So now that we've kind of figured out where your, not per se specific end is, but kind of like where you are now, especially as a gamer, I wanna go back. What was your first console?
Oh, let's see. That was most likely the Super Nintendo. Like, I played on that a lot. But if I had to pick, like, the first console, like, you mean, like, first console I owned or the first one I played on? See, that's the hard-hitting question here.
Let's start with first one you played on, because my first console was a Sega Saturn. But the first one I played on was original SNES.
See, like, for me, the first one could you ask that one more time?
I'll ask it to define it. What is the first console you remember playing on?
Super Nintendo.
Okay. What game comes to mind when you think about those days then?
Looney Tunes Basketball.
Yeah? Oh, wow. That is a pool.
Yep. That one was I played a lot. Also, besides that, another game, King of the Monsters 2 is another one that, like, comes to mind when I think of Super Nintendo. That was another one.
I actually don't know that one.
No, you don't know King of the Monsters 2?
No.
It was, you know what Neo Geo is, right?
Yeah, I know the Neo Geo.
Yeah, it's from, it's a port of the Neo Geo version, but very dumbed down.
Okay. So very classic for their era then. Because yeah. I remember always getting ports, especially on the original brick Game Boy, of games that would have been on the NES or whatever, and they're just super dumbed down.
I guess it's not like dumbed down per se, but it was made easier. Like, the difficulty was lessened, but it was still difficult. Like, to get to the very end was just, it was a slog, but a fun slog. Like don't get me wrong, it was a fun slog.
So
it was
definitely talking about those slogs. Me and Defend got on the topic last week, and it was the difficulty in games. Do you think games are as difficult as they used to be? And I'm not like We'll take Dark Souls out of the category for sure. But, like, because I remember games in the early times where they were almost knock-down, drag-out fights to complete sometimes.
You mean like Lion King?
Lion King or Ghouls and Goblins?
Ghosts and Goblins, yeah. Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Yeah. Yeah, now it's now it's coming to mind.
But do you think games are as hard as they used to be?
Yeah, they're still pretty difficult. They're oh my goodness, my whole model's messing up once again. Now my lips aren't moving when I talk, only when I open my mouth. See? See, when I talk, it shuts. Okay. What am I? What am I? A dummy? Are you the ventriloquist here?
I wish I could do that. I've always wanted to learn ventriloquism. I think it'd be a cool skill.
Which one of us is the dummy, though?
That's the real question.
All right, hold on. How do I do this? Lip sync. That's why. The ba-bing, ba-boom. Ta-da! That's better. Auto blinking, auto movements. Yes, yes, yes. See, I'm a VTuber. There's scuff even when I'm a special guest on someone's show. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
Oh man, this is great. I love this. Like, just how relaxed all of this is, in that we can just sit here and laugh about it too. That's the best part.
That is the best part. Also, seeing Baby True saying Magic the Gathering is my favorite. Oh, you should see my one of my decks.
Oh, don't get her started.
I want to?
She's a very close, like, IRL friend. And last time that her and her husband streams, they sat and just talked about Magic, and I don't play physically anymore. I play all on Arena now.
See, that's what I was playing against my buddy Dad Knight, who actually followed you. I thought I had a good deck. Turns out I didn't. Like, it put up a good fight. That's the thing. Is the deck put up? Hi, Indie Bird. I play Black, White, Vampire, and Angel. Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
I told you.
Stay back.
I told you. Andy, thank you for the bits. Much appreciated. You know, you don't have to, but it's always appreciated.
I tell my chat that sometimes in one of my... community members dropped like 20 subs at once because I was doing a sort of stream marathon, and he's like, here. I was like, thank you. Ooh, red goblins or green dragons. Okay, see, that I can vibe with.
I usually run black, black-red vampires. That or I've got a... on Arena, I was running for a while a white-black knight vampire build, which was good. Ooh. That was a fun one.
I like that.
Because if my vampires were on, they buffed each other, and if my knights were on, they buffed each other, and it was good synergies for no matter what I pulled for both, as long as I was getting equal amounts of either.
I mean, that works. It works.
So,
oh dear, what did I just click? Oh.
What did you just click? What'd you do?
I just learned my VTuber program has blueprints for everything, cause and effect. It's like, have you ever seen how Unreal Engine works? Like, how you have like all these different windows that connect to each other for like effects and things? Oh my.
Oh, you just opened a door for yourself, didn't you?
Oh, hell no, I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that at all. Just my luck, one thing clicks and poof!
Yeah, there it all goes.
Yeah, no, I don't want to undo the hard work my friend did for me to make this model. It's like, she worked hard on this. I'm like, no.
No,
I can't. How's it go? No.
So going back to the SNES, and going from there, did you own a console before you started experimenting with new games, or did you start going into more with your first console, like the first owned console?
So see how we did it, how it was done when we were growing up is we had, we had the Super Nintendo because of my mom and dad. My grandmother had a Super Nintendo, a Game Boy, Sega Genesis, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Advance SP, and Nintendo DS.
Go Grandma!
Oh, yeah.
Go Grandma, indeed.
But, you know, it was them. It was my dad's granddad that also got us into games like Super Mario World and stuff. Like, the whole family got us and stuff. We had Sega. We owned a Sega Game Gear. That was a fun system.
You don't hear about the Game Gear very often. And, like, I feel it's very underappreciated.
It is an underappreciated system. There was some good stuff on it. The Sonic games, hit or miss. It was dependent on the game that you had for Sonic. Like Sonic Chaos was a great one on the Game Gear. I played the Lucky Dime Caper starring Donald Duck. That was a good one on the Game Gear. For games like Super Nintendo, I played Firepower 2000, which is an earlier Bullet Hell style game in the genres of like 1942 and 1943. I played Super Metroid. Oh god, I love that game.
Metroid's a good classic.
And then I played the very first type of remaster ever was Super Mario All-Stars.
Nice.
Like, that was the way to do a remaster of a game. Kept the same mechanics, just had better graphics and sound.
Yep.
Like, that's a remaster. People saying, oh, this game's remastered. No, it's not. It's just a port. It's a port. But from Super Nintendo, we went to Nintendo 64 in the family. My mom and dad got a Nintendo 64. They said it was for them, but you know, we knew better.
Of course.
We all sat down to play Super Mario 64. I had never played a 3D game before that. We could not get past the bridge in Bob-omb Battlefield. Like, we kept running off of it.
I think for me, my first, like, so because I had the Sega Saturn before I had a 64.
Oh, I love the Saturn.
I love the Saturn so much. And so I tracked down the game because I couldn't remember it with Defend. But my biggest memory, especially from my early years of gaming, was it's a 3D, like real choppy polygon models. And it's a robot fighting game called RoboPit. It had a...
I know that one!
You know RoboPit?
Yes!
Yes! Oh.
Also, I'm going to interrupt you, but Ninja?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Did I hit 200 now?
You hit 200.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Let's go!
Oh, I can't clap on my model. I just looked like I had an aneurysm there for a moment.
I will take the 200 very well.
Congratulations. I'm really happy for you. That's another milestone down.
Yeah, now I gotta figure out what I'm doing for it. I was thinking about doing my first subathon with 200, but I don't know when I'm gonna have the time to set up any of that right now.
Well, you see, you could do what I did. Request particular days off and then hype it up.
I wish I could, but I'm stuck on my mentor schedule right now. The only reason I have tomorrow off is because I had to come in Monday for a special training.
Makes sense.
But But yeah, back to RoboPit, because now that I actually know someone who knows about it.
Hello, Big Tug. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. You're A-okay. Did you know that it had a PlayStation 1 port as well?
No.
So,
I did not.
Doing a little research trying to figure out about it, because before, I didn't know the name. I vaguely remembered the concept of it. But what I did remember is that one of the producers for it and developers had a man with a didgeridoo. He was like Australian Aboriginal with a didgeridoo, and that's all I can remember about the game. And that's literally what I Google searched, was robot battle game with a man with a didgeridoo.
I mean, it worked.
It worked,
right? Go ahead. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
But so, like, RoboPit was one of the games I remember playing all of the time growing up.
That's a good one to have a good memory of.
And then I'd say my second one would be Guardian Heroes, if you know it too.
I do not.
So Guardian Heroes is one of those kind of like a side-scroller beat-em-up. But it was one of the earlier games where your choices actually made a difference with things. And so, like, at the end of levels, you would get a choice of what level you'd want to go to, or you would have, like, very, very minute dialogue choices. And that's how you would unlock characters, it was one of the first games I remember having, like, different endings.
Okay, and I'll have to look into it.
They did a remaster port for the Xbox 360. I do know that, and it's such a good game, especially if you like Dungeons and Dragons and like fantasy, because all of the characters are very D&D-esque classes.
Okay, that's something I could look into.
Go ahead.
So there was one game on Nintendo 64 that I remember. It was kind of sort of obscure, but not. It's Space Station Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's a mouthful of a name.
It was a game about a space station called Silicon Valley that was lost for 1,000 years. And it finally reappeared 1,000 years later, infested with robot animals that have taken over the facility. So these two heroes, Dan Danger and Evo, had to go there. While they got in an argument partway to the space station about what music to listen to, Evo, the robot, knocked Dan out, and they crashed into a meteor, which then they crash landed into the space station. Evo gets ejected out of his ejection seat, and he's shattered into, like, let's see, arms, legs, torso. I had 4 different pieces that you had to travel through, like, I believe 30-ish levels to collect everything and put him back together. You were just a little microchip, and you could infest the robot animals and take them over.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
It's fun.
I love the sound of that.
It would have had more success if it didn't release around the time Banjo-Kazooie and the latest Legend of Zelda game hit.
So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, because talking about games like that I believe should have had bigger successes. So about middle elementary-ish area to like early middle school, one of my big consoles from childhood was the GameCube. Do you remember Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg?
Yes! Okay. I remember that one.
So that was another game that was like, it would have been really big if Super Mario Sunshine didn't come out, or Luigi's Mansion, and stuff like that. And I think, like, I feel like it could have been another good, like, secondary to third mascot for Sega.
Right, it would have been a really good tertiary kind of thing.
Because, like, Sega always had Sonic, and then it had Knights for a little while, But I don't think of any other big characters when I think of Sega, especially now. So I really wish Billy Hatchet would have taken off a bit more. And I would absolutely kill for a remaster of that game.
Another good another game on GameCube that I remember playing. I don't think it was really obscure, but Pikmin.
I love the Pikmin series. I do too. I remember talking about it watching you play. Was it 2 or 1 that you were playing?
It was 1. I played through all of 1.
And I loved the Pikmin series growing up. I loved 2, especially with the multiplayer that they added to it. Fuck Louie.
No. The thing is, there's a guy that did a little animated short, Doobus Goobus, that did one about Pikmin.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, and Olimar's like, hello, Randy the Pikmin. He's like, how are you today? And the little Pikmin's making noise, and you hear the name Louie. He goes, oh, no, Louie wouldn't do that. Let's go talk to him. Louie, my attention that Randy says you ate Jimmy the Pikmin. Is this true? And there's silence for a few minutes. And then Louie goes, you name your food? He goes, I don't know the implications of that sentence, Louie. Oh, well, you're not going to like the straightforward version. And he's like, and then another Pikmin comes up, you ate Timmy? And James, how many did you eat? And then the purple Pikmin comes in and yells, just goes, burr. He goes, oh my god, they wanted it state the death penalty just for you. What did you do? And then a Bulbourg was like, oh, it was absolutely foul. He goes, something about, hang on. He goes, it was so terrible that my brain evolved. Goes, wait, so he's like, so your brain evolved so it could comprehend the horrors it was witnessing? Yes, and now I see it every night in my nightmare, so fuck you, Louie. He goes, no one asked you to watch LeMayo.
That's crazy. And then
Olimar is like, Louie, how could you do this? And then it's silent for a minute. He goes, I'm going to go underground and try to kill you if you come near me. And it's a freeze frame, and it says, fun fact, Louie does this twice.
He does!
It's just great. I'll have to link the video to you later. It's terrific.
Oh, I love Ubus Goobus. He does such good work.
Right? Like it's such simple animations, but it's just so funny. Like the Foghorn Leghorn one, that was my favorite.
That's a good one.
Boy, I say, boy, this anime stuff here is garbage. If you keep watching anime, you're going to end up dying alone, or you're going to get a girl who's fat, a furry, or worse, I say worse, both.
Both.
But yeah, we're getting a little distracted here. Here's a game. Here's a game for you. It's for PlayStation 1.
Okay.
Nightmare Creatures 2.
I don't know that.
Oh, it's a good game. It's a kind of an action-y one with Resident Evil-style controls, like the tank-like controls.
Okay.
Another good one was Kingsfield and Kingsfield 2 for PS1, made by FromSoft, which, made the Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, how hard is that? I'm like, well, let's see. If you could be halfway through Kingsfield 1, you haven't saved your game, and you're not satisfying extremely specific, unwritten, like in the manual conditions. If you die, you gotta start all over.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was. Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a time. That sounds like a rage quit game for me, for sure.
Oh, as a kid, I got to the end, near the end of the game, where I had to defeat 4 Guardians, which were just basically supersized versions of some of the harder enemies. I killed all 4. And I was about to go face Necron, which was, I thought, was the final boss. I teleported out to go heal, get new items and stuff. I come back, all 4 of the bosses are back.
Oh, no.
I have to do it again.
Oh, no.
So I did. I did it again because I was grinding the levels, because why not? I go to face Necron. I'm like level 45. I'm like, I can do this. I can beat this guy. I got humbled. he has certain magics that you don't get access to until late game, and I didn't know this. He had like homing and magic missile attacks. He had like an earthquake. He could just like fucking catch you in a melee attack that hits you like 35 times.
Oh.
I eventually did beat him. I thought the game was over. No.
Was it just the halfway point?
No, it was near the end. The thing is there was this boss after him, a dragon, the dark dragon Gyra. Oh boy. Magic didn't work. He had guardians that would absorb all magic you shot at him. They also shot lasers at you. The dragon had flame breath that could cause earth shocks, fire lasers. And behind him was the most powerful sword in the game, the Moonlight Sword. There was supposed to be no way to get it. But you could glitch yourself to get it by standing next to Gyra's foot, running at him as he did a dive down attack with his fangs. It would push you up in the air, make you slide down his back. You could grab the sword, and then you'd have to die to respawn if you had the right conditions satisfied.
What type of Nintendo Power bullshit did you just explain to me? Like, I feel like I'm sitting here reading an original Nintendo Power, or I called like the old helpline, and just some guy on a desk in a cubicle just going, "Yeah, here's how you do it."
But yeah, no, the thing is it was the most powerful sword. It could almost one-shot anything. You were not meant to get it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you weren't supposed to get it, yet the developer still added sword magic to it. Like, each special sword had two magic attacks. And they still added sword magic to the Moonlight Sword. Which to me, tells me that you were eventually supposed to get it at some point before then. But a last-minute decision change made it to be unobtainable.
See,
I don't know. I just love the Kingsfield games.
I'm definitely gonna have to check them out for like a retro playthrough sometime soon, because I've been kind of going on like this big nostalgia trip with a lot of the games I've been playing lately, and so I'll definitely have to add that to my list. But talking about that sword, I don't feel like games do that anymore.
Make OP weapons?
Make A, OP weapons. B, make them where they're, like, stupidly hard to get. Like, as I said, it sounded like he was reading from the Nintendo Power help section.
So you have to go next to the dragon's foot. You have to let him attack you at a specific time in a specific way. Then you can grab the sword and die. Now, see, the thing is I have a follower who really loves Kingsfield as well. They turned me towards this game called Lunacid, which is a Kingsfield-like experience.
Okay.
And I still need to play more of that on stream, because honestly, that is such a fucking fun game. Like, it just felt like a trip down memory lane. Like, better, more modernized controls. Like, the controls are more fluid. The combat's satisfying. It felt so good to play, and like, I can never thank them enough for sending me such an awesome game. I am sliding down in my chair. There we go.
Do you feel like you get that experience often with games? Like, you find a new game and it feels extremely nostalgic?
Some games I have. Like, oh jeez, this one takes me back. Playing Castle of Illusion, the remake.
Okay.
From Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
It was from, yeah, like, playing that felt like I was playing the exact same game, just with better graphics. Like, they did that properly.
I know I'm playing through Elder Scrolls Oblivion right now, and like, when I first started that stream, I gushed about it, because Elder Scrolls Oblivion is A, one of my top five games. If not my number one. And I find it, and I was just going on about how, like, I used to be able to spend hours just burning it through Oblivion, and it was one of the first games I got all the achievements on Xbox 360. It's one of those games that, like, definitely capsulized my, like, late middle school, early high school era of gaming, for sure. and just talking about it and just being like, yeah, no, I feel like I'm back at my house sitting in my utility room with a CRTV just going at it like it's any other day after school.
See, I actually just started playing Oblivion again recently because my wife and I found some memes on TikTok where a guy, the player punches someone and someone comes up, you have the hands of a healer, punches him too.
There's a series, I'll have to find it and send it to you, but it's like, it's early meme era YouTube for sure, like extremely early meme era YouTube, but it's, I think it's called the Argonian Adventures. It's fully...
Wait, is this the Tales of a Lusty Argonian Maid?
Nah, sadly not. But it's just this guy going around as his character and just dealing with his little semantics and antics of the game. And the way he cut it together, especially for like early YouTube, is good. And it's funny. And so I'll have to send that to you in kind for the Ubus Glubus episode of Pikmin.
I'd absolutely love to see that. Please and thank you.
So, in fun aspect, because I have the arcade now here, do you remember, A, going to arcades as a kid, or, like, whenever you were growing up? Or do you remember, like, from my experience for arcades, for the most part, was, like, a couple arcade cabinets at the bowling alley or pizzeria?
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
So what arcade cabinets did you enjoy at while you were at the bowling alley or pizzeria?
Oh, there's two. Rampage and Donkey Kong.
Going real classic on me, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I even have a program on my PC that has at least 500 arcade cabinet games.
Sounds beautiful.
I love it. It's called Retrobat, if you ever want to look it up.
Yeah, I will definitely give it a looky-loo for sure. I remember playing at our skating rink here in town. They used to have a X-Men versus Street Fighter arcade cabinet. And I couldn't tell you how many quarters I sinked into that. And Cyclops was just the best. You had Cyclops and Ryu, and he was just the absolute best. But Baby Truth knows exactly what I'm talking about. And like that, they had that cabinet, and I think they had like an old like racer cabinet where you had like the full car set up.
Mm-hmm. I think I know which one you're talking about. Race driving or something.
Yeah. You had a dozen of them with a bunch of different names.
Speaking of which, if you ever go to Illinois, go to Brookfield. There is an arcade there called the Galloping Ghost Arcade.
Okay.
Over 800 functioning arcade machines, all set to free play. $20 gets you in at the door all day play.
Oh, God. I'd lose so much time there.
Yeah, I've been there twice, and both times were magical.
Oh,
I got to play. I got to play the OG Punch Out. I got to play the Three Stooges. I got to play some rail shooter games like Silent Hill Arcade. I got to play the Japanese exclusive Left 4 Dead arcade cabinet.
I remember House of the Dead.
That was an experience. I got to play that there, too.
Dude, classic House of the Dead, that is one of my, like, solid arcade. If I can find that in an arcade, that's what I'm playing. I don't feel like we get enough of those on-rail shooters anymore in arcade cabinets.
Oh, no.
And then... interesting fact. I've only been ever to one anime convention in my entire life. While I was there, I won a Dig Dug tournament.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I completed almost every level perfectly.
Very nice.
And so, like, Dig Dug is also one of those arcade cabinet games that that is my go-to. Like, I love me some Dig Dug.
Oh, yeah?
Dig Dug's solid.
Dig Dug's a good game.
So, if you had to pick, like, three eras of your life, like, growing up, so I'd say, like, early childhood, middle childhood, and then, like, end of high school, if you went to college, like, college era, what's a game that you could encapsulate for each of those times?
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time?
Yeah. I know, my questions are fun and complex. If you had to pick, like, so, like, early childhood, I'll break it down one by one. Early childhood, if you had to pick a game to represent your early childhood, what would it be?
If I had to pick a game to represent my childhood, Boulder Dash for the NES.
Solid. Solid choice.
Have you ever played that one?
I haven't played, but it's one of the ones that's come up a lot while I was doing research when I was originally thinking about doing this show. And so I've watched a bit on it.
It's a good one.
All right, now if we go to, like, middle school era, what's a good game to represent that for you?
Middle school, like 6th grade, 5th grade?
Yeah, around that area. I know every state and stuff does it a little bit differently. Like, for me, middle school is 5th through 8th.
That's a good one. I'd have to say, for middle school, it was around N64, PS1 era. I guess more like PS2-ish era? No, PS1, yeah, I was only like... Let's see, I started kindergarten at 5. I was only about 10, 11 years old at the time, so PS1. Croc, Legend of the Gobos, and Crash Bandicoot 3.
Yeah, no, I don't know the first one, but I definitely know my Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot's a solid one.
It's a good, solid platformer. And I'm glad they came out with the Insane Trilogy. They did a really good job with doing Crash justice.
They did. Another good one from my middle school years would have to be... Jet Set Radio Future.
There we go.
If we're going about 8th grade-ish or so for the Xbox, that was a good game.
I feel like it's one of Sega's very underappreciated titles, for sure.
I was a Gum main, thank you very much.
I don't remember who I mained for Jet Set Radio.
Yo-Yo was another one that I played as a lot. All right, what's your next question?
So, we're going to go to high school era.
What? Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, Tenkaichi 2 and 3.
Yes, there we go.
You excited for Infinite Sparking to come out?
Yes, I am, because if it plays as good as they are talking it to be, that is going to be one of those games where I feel nostalgic. That is definitely going to be one of those games that I will get nostalgia from because of Budokai 2 and 3.
What's funny is the PS3 wasn't even out when I was in high school.
that's fun. I forget how much older you are than me. I forget that with a lot of people in the streaming community.
Yeah, it came out in 2000. Oh, it came out in 2006. So just as I was in the very nip end of high school. Did you know? Let's see. Yeah, PS3 and 360 are considered retro.
I know. Don't like. Like, I'm only 26. And I'm doing good for 26. Like, I'm doing real good for 26. I just hit 200 followers on a thing that I never thought I would ever be doing in my lifetime.
Well, congratulations.
But, like, to think that the PS3 and the Xbox 360 are retro now. Like, that's mind-blowing. Because I remember when Grand Theft Auto 5 came out on the PS3.
Oh, my.
Because it came out on the tail end of the PS3.
It really did. It came right near the end of its lifespan.
And, like, and then I had a PS3 and I had an Xbox 360 growing up. I've always been that. I've been Poland. I've been sitting in the middle of the camp. And I could go either way. But,
so,
like, go ahead.
Let me blow your mind with something.
Yeah.
The PS4 is 11 years old.
Oh, God.
4 more years, and it's a retro console.
Oh, God. And that, like, I love thinking about that in retrospect as well. Because, as I said, I forget that you're older than me. I forget that a lot of people in the streaming community is older than me. Age is something that just kind of blanks out a little bit for me.
I'm an old man, don't you see, sonny?
Just a little
Where's my ibuprofen?
Where's your ibuprofen and the prune juice?
Actually, you know what? Don't you fucking knock prune juice. Wait a minute, hey, I am old.
No, dude, I love prune juice. I've loved prune juice since, like, high school. Like, I get it. Prune juice is freaking delicious. I don't care what anyone says. And it keeps you
regular. It really is.
Like,
it keeps my flow regular. It helps me poop.
But, like, thinking on kids now, like, kids start so early with gaming now. Like, we joke on, like, the iPad kids and stuff like that, and it's just like,
it's like, we did this to them.
We did this to them, and then, like, some of the things that they'll miss that, like, me and Defend brought it up a little bit last week, and it was, LAN parties. Kids go out of their way, they'll never experience what a true LAN party was.
And honestly, for their generation, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something I don't think they'd enjoy. Because they're so used to playing with their friends online. Oh, no.
Super
Nova. No. Oh, no.
Oh, God. So do we have to explain what a LAN party is now?
I would like to explain what a LAN party is to them, because they're a very good friend of mine, and I'd love to educate them about my era while I'm old.
Yeah. So a LAN party is when you used to either get a bunch of consoles, or even more trousseau to a LAN party, you'd pack up your desktop, and you'd all go over to the same person's house, and you'd have Ethernet cables running between every console or computer, and that's how you played multiplayer games.
Mm-hmm. That's how you used to play them. Some consoles had 4 controllers where you could play 4 players split screen, but, you know, that also was screen peeking. You could peek at each other's screens. Halo and Half-Life are, like, the 2 biggest examples of LAN party games.
That was my first LAN party, was Halo 3. Halo
1 was my first one at a school lock-in.
Nice. And then I think my first PC one was Age of Mythology.
Oh, did you hear they're remastering that?
Yes, I know. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to send my legions of animals as the great god Thoth. And
I'm excited.
I
would like to play that with you day one on stream when it comes out. You versus me.
If I have the funds for it, yes, for sure.
Oh, just grab yourself Game Pass.
I need to get Game Pass again because it is worth the money. I think after I get, like, so my goal right now with job situation and everything is I want to get all my bills settled, and then I want to get I have a PlayStation card. I want to get it paid off. And then I was thinking about doing Adobe on it, paying it off for the year, and then doing Game Pass, and then paying it off for the year.
Makes sense.
And because I had Game Pass before, and it's honestly worth the money with the amount of games you get. Like, it is.
It is, because right now I play a lot of State of Decay 2, I play Age of Empires 2, I play Generation Zero, Lords of the Fallen, like the remade one is on here.
How is Generation Zero? It was one that whenever it was coming out, it was on my radar, but I never... I couldn't convince my college crew to get it, so I never got to play it, but I always heard pretty good things about it.
It's good. I enjoy... Ooh, excuse me. I enjoy it for what it is.
Because I like the concept of its type of apocalyptic setting. Just the random robots. And it also reminds me of the tabletop game Tales of the Loop, if you know it.
I've heard of that. I've heard of that.
It's Switzerland. It's retropunk. They have a couple adventure modules that let you convert it to America. But it's 1980s, like, retropunk. In different towns, you have what's known as the Loop. And it's this giant underground facility that, A, provides the city with its water and power. But it also, like, they'll put out, like, robots every once in a while that are just, they have a task. You go out, you let it do its task, and you just don't bother it. Or the Loop will also, like, make really weird just things happen to the town that it's in. It's a really interesting concept. It's a very on the lines of Kids on Bikes, if you know it. Very more story-oriented. Mm-hmm. I think Amazon did a short TV series for it as well.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. So I want to deviate a little bit away from games. I wanted to ask you something about your childhood.
Yeah, go for it.
What was your favorite book?
So my favorite book is more of the series itself as a whole. And that's the Percy Jackson series, the Red Pyramid series, and then the Heroes of Olympus.
You like the Percy Jackson series? Oh, you and my wife would get along.
I love the Percy Jackson series. I love Rick Riordan's work. He did wonderful. High school-wise, though, because I've always been a super big fan of coming-of-age stories, I'm a sucker for a cheesy romance. There's a wonderful book called Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell. Beautiful read. Absolutely beautiful read. It takes, you have Eleanor and then you have Park, who's Japanese American. Eleanor's very like trailer park type of growing up situation, and they meet on the bus and each chapter switches their point of view. Beautiful read. So I'll throw that question back to you. Favorite book growing up?
Cold River.
Don't know it. Enlighten me.
It's an outdoor adventure book about two kids who go on a camping adventure with their dad, and they have an accident on the river, and unfortunately their dad passes away from it. So now they have to fend for themselves in the wilderness. They survive through like the fall, the winter. There's this guy who like comes up on them. They have to almost kill him. They chase him off. They kill a bear, you know, they have to eat the bear to survive. It's a good book.
It sounds Hatchet with extra steps.
I love outdoor adventure books. I like Mr. Tuckett. I like My Side of the Mountain. Things like that. Like, I love outdoorsy short stories.
Nova redeemed a drink,
I should grab a drink while I'm at it.
I don't mind deviating to books for a little bit. What is your favorite American classic novel?
Pass.
Pass. Yeah. Okay.
I don't do much reading anymore.
Same. Oh my gosh.
Unfortunately,
I hate how much I can't read anymore. Like, I don't know if it's just I don't have the attention span for it like I used to, because I know the internet and like TikTok and getting into that whole hubbub of a conversation has probably ruined my attention span.
Well, I stopped reading because I read this heartbreaking book that just shattered me. It was A Child Called It.
I know it. We read it in my sociology class in high school.
It shattered me. I couldn't pick up another book afterwards. It just broke my heart.
You know it has a sequel, right?
I do.
It's
The Law of, what was it called?
What is it called?
Now I'm gonna have to look it up.
Its sequel is just as heartbreaking. Just going to throw that out there to you.
The Lost Boy.
Yes.
I do want to pick up books again because I want to read The Giver, because that was a good one.
The Giver is a good, like, I consider it an American classic now. Like, it is a good read.
The Ringer was another one that I liked to read too.
I don't know that one.
I'll have to send you I don't really want to explain it on stream because it's trigger warning.
Ah,
cruelty
fair.
To animals.
Nope, completely understandable. So I'll give you a slight challenge if you want to get back into reading and you want something very thought-provoking.
What's that?
It is a book called The House of Leaves.
I think I've heard of that one. You have to link it to me at some point. I'll take a look at it. Look into it.
So The House of Leaves is a story within a story within a story. And what I mean by that is, so you have the basis of the book, and the book itself is about this guy who, him and his wife buy a house, and they start noticing weird inconsistencies in the house. Like closet doors moving where they shouldn't be, or like there's a space in between one of the closets that if you look at the blueprints of the house should not be there.
Oh dear.
And then, so the first story within the story then is in the footnotes of the book where it's comments from the author of the book. And he's like, it's him psychoanalyzing everything and like breaking things down into even more descriptions and stuff like that. And then the next part of that is in some of the margins, in some of the extra footnotes, it's about a guy who is reading the notes of the author and the book.
I'll have to check that out.
But like one of the interesting things about it is like you have pages that are like two words and they're upside down. You'll have pages where the text circles and you have to like turn the book to read it. I've only made it about 3 to 4 chapters into it before I had to set it down for a moment, and I just haven't picked it back up. And my cousin, who I spent time with while I was at pet training last week, he got my interest back into it. So I have a copy of it, and I'm thinking about getting back into it fully.
Okay.
So it is a challenge read that I will put forth to you for sure.
I will give it some consideration.
So, kind of on the rounding back a little bit to video games, and then also just as what we are now as streamers and everything, what made you become a streamer?
I wanted to build a community. I wanted to have some fun, meet some new people, fill my downtime with something to do. And now, so when I first started doing it, I didn't get a whole lot of followers. And then I gained about up to 50, and it's like, okay, cool. And then I hit affiliate, and then my first thought was, oh, shit. I'm in too deep. I'm like, I'm in too deep. What do I do now? And then I met some people who I unfortunately no longer talk to. That's a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
Nova is actually the result of me meeting said person. Them and I are still very good friends. Nova is a good person. You know, I would always highly recommend checking them out whenever they stream. But I got to meet a lot of different friends. I've met some really cool people. I got to meet Indie Bird. I got to meet you through her. And I got to introduce you to other VTubers that I'm friends with. You know, like Bears Gamer Cave. He's pretty cool. I think you've spoken to him before.
Yeah.
And now I'm teetering on almost what now? And you're welcome, Nova. Yeah, I'm teetering on almost... Right now I'm at 479... Oh my. That jumped. Oh dear. I have to start thinking of what I'm going to do for 500. Oh my.
Oh my, indeed.
If you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go now.
Go and start getting some plan organization done at the resort.
No, more like panic. It's like, oh my. Yeah, I didn't expect myself to get. Actually, I had somebody one time when I hit 300 followers. My friend Crunchy Pickle was my 300th, and she was like, "So, how'd you get this far? What are you gonna do now?" I'm like, "I don't know. Never thought I'd make it this far." And Cookie would like us to stretch, Ninja. Yep.
Doing it now.
They don't, big stretch.
They don't stretch. They don't get me in my usual stream attire because I the only formal part of Joystick Journeys is my shirt is actually buttoned up for once.
But it's just like I never thought I'd make it this far. I never thought I'd meet cool people like you. And heck, I had a hell of a milestone. I had a Twitch partner on my interview. That was really cool. She's a sweetheart. I think you were there for that one. Yomi Quinley, I think, if you remember.
Yes. I popped in for a bit, and I had you on Lurk, and then some stuff here happened at the house, so I didn't get to stay as long as I wanted to.
But she's definitely someone I'd recommend you check out if you like high-energy chaos. She's fun.
Nice.
I'm hoping I can have in the talks with her to come back after for like a follow-up stream of... when she gets her 2.0 model, I'd like to have her come back so she could talk about it.
So I know talking like in my aspect of like not believing that you've made it this far in retrospect. And like, because I started for those that aren't like, I know I've got a lot of your viewers in here now. When I started streaming to fill a void. Honestly, I just broke up with my partner. I had to buy a house out of survival more than anything. And right. And I realized how empty my house was. Like that was one of the biggest things that I would sit here and like I'd be here playing games and I'm like, what am I doing? Like there was just playing games to play games at that point. And that's not why I play games. I play games to have fun. I play games for that story.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go. You finish what you were gonna say. I'm gonna bounce off of your thought when you're done.
Yeah. And so like, I started streaming as in a way like hobby, and I was like, if it hits big, it hits big. And then next thing I know, I'm getting followers. Next thing I know, I'm putting a decent amount of effort into it. Like I went and bought a decent mic. I ended up getting a camera and everything. And it's like, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this right type of mentality.
Right, like you're going to do this. You want to make sure you're doing it the way you want and the way you feel is right, and you're going to have fun.
And when I first hit 100, I was like, "Oh, oh crap, that's crazy. And then me hitting affiliate, I was like, as you said, it was like, it was an oh shit moment of like, I've really got to do this now type of deal.
And you know, the funny thing is, if I just stopped streaming tomorrow, never came back, there's at least a few select VTubers that I know that have my address that would call a welfare check immediately if I didn't stream for a week without saying something.
Yeah.
Like, now I have that, like, I have that responsibility to let make people sure that I'm safe.
Oh, yeah. And,
like I,
and going off that, like, I get that. Like, I feel, I understand, like, the whole do what you need to do for your own mental health and whatnot, and that. I know you understand that entirely.
Oh, yes. I've actually had to do a break before myself.
And, but it's like, now that I know that there's people here that, like, this community has filled that goal, that void, and now I'm a part of the little cabin of cozies, and that was, like, I was telling it to Gab and Emmy and Indy, like, that was kind of one of my, like, underlying, like, hidden goals in the back of my head, was, like, I want to be a part of the cabin of cozies, and now it's happened, and it's, like, oh.
What is the Cabin of Cozies, if you might enlighten me?
So the Cabin of Cozies is this wonderful, amazing stream group that is founded by Gabrielle Slays and Emmy Games. I'm going to put the command in chat so it pops up. And Indy's a part of it. Then we've got Maddie Two Taps. I know Justin, I can never remember his tag because it's just a string of letters. Don Venarius just joined recently. Me and Vanilla Chai, if you know her, joined together at the same time. And it's,
how does one apply for this?
I would probably message Gabriella Slays or Emmy, or okay. even talk to Indy about it, and Indy would probably put in a good word for you. But if you click on the link that's in chat, we're just, or I
think... You're just a bunch of people that just want to have fun and have a community and be there for each other, and...
Yeah, like, our thing is a growing community of streamers striving to create fun, inclusive communities where everyone can feel safe to hang out and chat, no matter who's streaming what. And, like, you have Emmy and Cozy Celinda, who's a PNG tuber. They're super cozy. Like, Cozy Celinda streams literally 95% of the time Dreamlight Valley. Disney Dreamlight Valley.
I love that game.
It's so cute. It's Animal Crossing with a Disney skin. How could they not make money off of it?
Right?
And then, but then you have Indy, and I know you've been in Indy streams, and how spicy and chaotic it can be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you have Don, who's just there doing his thing. You have me, who's doing my thing. And we're here for each other. It in a way, it replaced what I lost when me and my partner separated, in retrospect. That sense
I'm happy for you.
That sense of, and I hate using this term a lot with things that aren't it, but I also understand the difference between the two terms of how I use it. They're my family now. Like they just are. And I know, like, your chosen family is more important than your blood family in a lot of cases, especially nowadays. And that's what the cabin is for me, is this family that I'm here with, and that I wouldn't trade for the world. And, like, I'm glad to be here and a part of it. Because, and, like, Emmy and Gab's there, and I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it and talking about it a bit in depth. It's just,
you
like,
know,
it's a relief.
I'm very happy for you that you've found them, and, like, you have found each other. Like, all of you have found each other. Like, I found Indie Bird. opened up the world of streaming more for me to be more confident. I got to meet you. I believe I've actually dropped by Gabrielle's streams before, and I've said hello. I have, you know, my hotel's filling up with guests by the day. I have 479 guests staying at that hotel.
And it's like, that feeling right there alone, like, I can hear it in your voice, and I know I know I'm feeling it because I'm all teary-eyed and
I'm a little choked up too.
And it's just like that has became the underlying reason of why I stream now. Because I know what it's like to be alone. I know what it's like to lose all of that, and we have it here with each other. And like, I'm so glad to have met you. I'm so glad to have met Indy and Emmy and Gab and just everyone that I've met.
And that's the thing is, hang on, I'm getting a little...
Vinny told us to drink, by the way, so...
I'll drink to that. You know what? Cheers.
Cheers indeed.
I started this with no direction. And now if you're to ask me what my grand idea is now, it would be just continuing to build my community. To make people feel welcome. To make them feel welcome, safe, cared about, loved, and accepted. It doesn't matter your age. Well, I mean, 18 and over, obviously. It doesn't matter your age, your creed, your race, your gender, your identity. You tell us what you need to feel safe in these communities, and I will do my best to provide. And knowing you, Sand Ninja, I know you will do the best you can to provide as 12. As 12. Wow. As 12. As 12. Words.
They are
as
hard.
Well. But it's just, this is, we're doing what we want to do. You've built a community. You reached over 200 followers tonight. Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
I know this is your stream, but chat, can we get a bunch of 07s for Sand Ninja, please?
Speaking of the 07, that has been a new emote for me lately that I have found, and I love it. I love the salute. I love it so much.
Let's get a bunch of salutes in there for how hard he works. I am not picking my nose, Cookie. I am not picking my nose. Wow, I put my hand up to my face. It does look like I'm picking that anyway.
Anywho.
But yeah, no, like, I'm grateful that we got to meet Ninja. You know, you showed me that. You know, it's fun. You know, we can have fun. We can goof around.
And I think that's what gaming needs to be at its core. Like, not that's just streaming. It is like that. That is what gaming is at its core. And I hate, like, I get the toxic communities. I understand it to a degree. But also, I hate the aspect of it because it's like, gaming is here to bring us together. Gaming is here to tell stories that otherwise wouldn't be heard. Like with Indy, she did for Pride Month a bunch of indie games that are very little known. And like, I still need to finish it, but I'm playing through the visual novel Heaven Will Be Mine, which is...
I love that one. I've seen some people playing that. Very few, though. Very few.
And it's like, or Tell Me Why. I did a full playthrough of Tell Me Why.
And I have that on Steam, and that's going to be one I do eventually on my show.
And like, it, without giving like spoilers away from it, of course, as you know, it's queer based because one of your main characters is trans, and there's an interaction within the first episode while you're playing as Tyler, where one of the you meet one of the neighbors from your childhood. And he makes a comment about, man, you really look like a man. And you have two dialogue choices of either, well, I am a man, or, well, I'm just me. And I literally sat there for like five. I went back to the VOD and I sat there for a good 5 minutes thinking, how do I answer this? Because I'm a very straight white male. I'm a very straight white male. And it's just like, I never had to think about like how would someone answer that question?
And hey, Ninja, you said you're straight, right?
Yeah.
You know I'm bi, right?
Yeah.
Give me 10 minutes with you and a dinner and you'll change your mind.
I have
what the kids call the Riz.
The Riz. We make the joke, me and my roommate, Tina, or as she's very well known in my chat as Big T. we use the term very, very loosely of I'm heteroflexible, because I've been through so many like art classes and life drawing classes where like the human form does not bother me nude, and it does not like instantly get me riled up as all the other straight males in the world. Like, and
it's it doesn't make you go hum na hum na hum na hum na hum na boner.
Exactly. I sit here and I go, your face is a nice circle. Let me sketch it, please. But I also can sit there and go, that person is a very handsome man. And like, I will admit that I'm very comfortable in my sexuality of being a straight person, that like I've kissed a couple dudes and I go, yeah, that was a kiss. It did nothing for me. Okay, moving on with my life. Type of scenarios, you know? like in that retrospect of it. And so like back to like tell me why. I sat there forever thinking on how to answer that question. And then I went, there are so many people out there in the world today that sit there and have to answer that question all the time.
True.
And that's why I liked Tell Me Why, is because it put stuff like that into perspective. And so I'm kind of keeping that a trend. That's why I started playing Heaven Will Be Mine, because I want to see that different perspective. And I want those stories that go under the radar to be told.
Well, if you do play those and you stream them, let me know. I would very much like to come by.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, I just, for me, gaming is, it's an escape. It lets me leave the real world behind, even if it's just for a couple of hours, to be whatever I want to be. I could be the god of war. I could be a survivor in an apocalypse, or I could be a superpowered hero that can never be hurt. I can be whatever I want. It helps me unwind at the end of the day. It lets me cope with things that have been going on. It lets me make community. It's let me make friends. It's, you know, my wife and I have that in common. We love video games. In fact, she's actually in the other room playing Hades 2 right now.
Need to get it. God, I still need to get Hades 2.
And the thing is right now with the Steam Summer Sale going on, if we weren't moving, there's one game I'd be getting my hands on, and that's Persona 5 Royal, because I've been wanting so bad to stream that.
I am this close to beating it on my PlayStation 5.
Oh,
I just need to sit down and do it.
it's one that I've had people request because they want to see it, but it's like, I can't get it right now because, unfortunately, I have more important things to do.
Yeah, no, I complete, like, because Gab's been doing, very loosely, by the way, Gab, Persona 3, and I got hooked watching her play it, and so, like, one of my next big stream games I want to get is Persona 3, because I want to run through it on stream. I think that would be a very fun one to do on stream.
Persona's always a good game to do, like, I don't know.
It's good storytelling. They do, Shiogami Tensei does really good jobs at storytelling. And their mechanics are very well thought out for a JRPG like that. And you don't see that much very often anymore. Like, I feel like a lot of JRPGs, if they're coming out, they're very run-of-the-mill.
A lot of them are. It's like, oh, you're helping me in my small town get ready for a festival. Now you have to kill God.
Yeah. And so, like, Persona does a really good job on that storytelling and those aspects, and definitely weaving them in together, for sure. Interesting question. How many games have you completed on stream?
Let's see. I've completed Turok 1, I've completed Super Mario World, Super Mario Lost Levels, Super Mario 64. I've completed, let's see, I'm thinking here. I don't know all the rest of them. There's been quite a few.
I've only done one full playthrough of a game on my stream so far.
What one's that?
Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 is a good game, though.
It's such a solid game, and I really enjoyed playing through it on stream, and just some of the antics, and also because all the Fallout games are much scarier than they should be at times. And so that's where a lot of people got to see my jump scares before wonderful October when it comes, and I'm going to be playing nothing but horror games that entire month.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see that. I want to watch you get scared.
Oh, dude, I am the biggest wuss when it comes to horror games. And I love them. I love them to death, but I am the biggest wuss when it comes to horror games.
Cookie, this is not me picking my nose. This is me taking a drink of water. It's water.
Wawa.
Wawa. Wawa. See? Look, there we go. Drink. 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 But no, the thing is that's me rubbing my eye. But oh my goodness, is it already 11 o'clock?
It is already 11, and I was actually going to wrap it up here, honestly.
Okay.
I'm kind of keeping them from an hour and a half to 2 hours-ish. I get given that little bit of leeway. I still got to edit Defends, and so I don't know how long edit time is going to do for that.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to have, by my next episode, that I do, which it should be Indie or Gab, should be one of my next ones. Spoiler alerts for people.
I would love to come watch.
I've got to get I've got 1 week left in July to get my schedule for, and then I'll go from there. But Azul, I'm going to open the floor up to you. Do you have any big stream plans coming up or any big projects that you want to talk about?
I don't have any major plans right now. I want to wait till we move before I do anything huge, because I don't want to make an announcement and then after the move, just poof, it's gone.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be like, well, I see. Well, I can't do this now, folks. I'm sorry.
Completely understandable.
I was going to stream tonight, but after today, I just kind of want to relax and exist.
Completely understandable. Completely get that. I actually
took
a small nap right when I got home before I ordered food, and then got food and then jumped right into this. I was going to do like an hour stream before this.
So I know tomorrow is my next big stream. I'm going to be doing Hooked on You with Goblin Fia. She's going to be voicing the female characters for me.
Nice.
Yep, and I'll be voicing the male.
Wonderful, wonderful. Alrighty. Well, it has been a pleasure having you here at the arcade with me.
It's been wonderful being here with you. Thank you so much.
And we are going to get ready to raid out. We are going to raid the wonderful Indie Bird, as we have brought up multiple times.
Birdie! We get to raid an amazing person, Birdie Bird.
And so there is the wonderful raid message. Make sure you guys copy it and everything. And as usual, thank you guys for showing up. Thank you guys for being here. I absolutely love everyone being here, especially for the Joystick Journeys. It has been one of those big passion projects that have been on the back burner for me for a while now. And to see it here, and honestly, because I like my numbers and I pay attention a little bit to numbers while I stream, these have been some of my biggest streams in a while too, which I'm super happy for. But just again, thank you everyone. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night. Desk, again, thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night.
I will, thank you. You have yourself a good night as well.
And we will be headed out. Thank you, goodbye, and good night.
Good night. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. Where are they coming from? I did too. That was wonderful.
Oh, hello.
Well.